Let us then turn in the Word of God to Mark chapter 15 as we continue looking at what Christ came into this world to do. We continue looking at the trial of Jesus, that he came into this world to give his life a ransom for sinners. And we look at the first 15 verses of Mark chapter 15. And we consider that Jesus came here into this world, and he is innocent, the Son of God, that he was like unto his brethren, like unto us, in everything except for sin. And we had that demonstrated for us last week in contrast to Judas and in contrast to Peter. And in this week, we are reminded all the more that Jesus came into this world. He gave his life to pay the penalty for our sins. And that he truly did that, and we see that exemplified for us because he was perfectly sinless. And Pilate judges him so here in these first 15 verses. So let us hear together the word of Almighty God. Immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered and said to him, "It is as you say." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you." But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast, he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. Then the multitude, crying out, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd so that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said to them again, "What then do you want me to do with him whom you call the king of the Jews?" So they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at this passage of God's word, we look at Jesus brought before the temporal judge. The church did not and does not have the right to put people to death. But the temporal judge does, and the church and the state ought to work together in these matters. But here we see Jesus, who is perfectly innocent, and we see that demonstrated again very powerfully for us this morning, brought before Pilate, and Pilate realizes very clearly what the chief priests, what the Sanhedrin is doing. That they had brought him before them, verse 10, because of envy. And later on, verse 14, when they say, "Crucify him," Pilate says, "Why? What evil has he done?" Now, when we think of a baby in a manger, we perhaps think of other babies. And our culture tells us that babies are innocent. The Bible tells us differently. David says what in Psalm 51? "Behold, in sin my mother conceived me." Not because his mother was sinning somehow in conception, but because David understood that babies from the moment of conception are conceived and born in sin. And the fact is, with Jesus, the baby, that was interrupted because Mary received the baby, conceived the baby by the power of the Holy Spirit. The miracle of the incarnation, such that Jesus had no sin. And we had to have Jesus throughout his life with no sin. The Christmas carols struggle to bring that to us. As Away in the Manger perhaps overstates the matter. No crying he makes. It's trying to struggle to bring to us the fact that Jesus was a perfect child. Not that he didn't cry, I'm quite certain he did. But that Jesus didn't cry for no purpose, just to get attention. Jesus was perfect throughout his childhood. One of the other carols reminds other Christian children, too must be perfect as Christ was. Yes, we are unable, but that is our goal and our desire as Christians. And brothers and sisters, Jesus was innocent to the cross. And we have that laid out in front of us as we look at this passage. Jesus is judged innocent, but he is sent to the cross for our sins. That's the theme that we want to see in God's Word this morning. Jesus is judged innocent, but he is sent to the cross for our sins. In verses 1 through 5, we see that Jesus is brought before Pilate as the temporal judge. And by the way, of course, we know that he was also brought before King Herod. And Pilate then, verses 6 through 10, attempts to release Jesus because he is innocent. And then in verses 11 through 15, we see that Pilate resists the envious chief priests, knowing that Jesus was innocent. So first of all, verses 1 through 5, Jesus is brought before Pilate as the temporal judge. The council gathers together in the morning. Notice that. There is a line of thought that says the whole trial in the middle of the night was totally illegal. But it doesn't really matter. What matters is their conclusion. That Jesus is being put to death. Why? We saw that last Lord's Day. Because he claims to be God. Because he is God. And now the whole council, we read, gathers together, and they together ratify what had been done overnight. That Jesus was to be put to death. But of course, they could not do it. They required the temporal judge, the civil government, to oversee this. And so Jesus is brought before Pilate. And so interesting. I had not noticed this previously, but as we look at Mark, it's laid out very clearly for us. When Pilate and the Jews ask the right questions, Jesus answers. And right away, Pilate asks the right question. Are you the king of the Jews? Excuse me. Are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus responds clearly, it is as you say, yes. This is the accusation against him. That he claims to be God, that he claims to be the true king. And of course, elsewhere we're told that the argument that the chief priests bring to Pilate is that if he claims to be king, then you're not Caesar's friend. And if he claims to be king, they also say, we have no king but Caesar, notifying us that they were worried about earthly power, not the power of God, not eternity in this matter. And so then they bring many other false accusations, so much so that Pilate's just amazed, isn't he? That Jesus does not respond. When they bring false accusations, Jesus is not going to be put on the cross for a false accusation. He is going to be put on the cross for the truth. That he claims to be God because he is. And Jesus continues his silence against these accusations. Pilate had the power to put Jesus to death. Of course, Jesus, as we saw, is still the one in control here. And he makes this clear to Pilate when he says in John 11 verse, or 19 verse 11, I'm sorry, "You could have no power against me unless it had been given to you from above." The power that Pilate has comes from God. And so Pilate asked Jesus, as we said, why? Jesus answered, nothing. "See how many things they testify against you." It is not the number of accusations. It is not the severity of the crime of the accusation. It's the truth. And they could not get anything together because God was intervening so that they would not get together to accuse Jesus falsely and come up with some trumped up charge. And Jesus answers nothing so far that they stand amazed. And Pilate realizes what's going on. Pilate is not ignorant of these things. By the way, Pilate lived just on the hill on the side of Jerusalem. And he's not far away from even the temple where Pilate's house was and the garrison was in Jerusalem. And so all the things going on was not something that Pilate was unable to realize. These were things going on in and among the people that he ruled over. And so at this time of Passover, Pilate attempts to release Jesus because he's innocent. There's a very powerful parallel here, by the way, when we think going back to the Passover. And you have two lambs, don't you, at the Passover? One of which is killed outside of the camp. One is released. And Barabbas is that other lamb released. And he symbolizes us and our sins. And Pilate, at this time of the year, at this feast, releases a prisoner. And so the people gather together and they say, "We want you to do what you normally do." And Pilate says, "Let's release this guy. I know these guys brought Jesus before me because they envy me." The people, for the most part, loved Jesus and what he was doing. But they had the wrong idea of what Jesus was. They were looking for an earthly king. And so Pilate realizes that Jesus is innocent, and he tries to release him. He says, "You want me to release to you the one, the king of the Jews, Jesus." Matthew records that Pilate declares Jesus innocent. He says, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person." And so Pilate attempts to release Jesus. But the chief priests were having none of it. Pilate, we read, continues to resist those envious chief priests knowing that Jesus is innocent. The crowd, at the chief priest's instigation, demands that Jesus be crucified. And the chief priest stirred up the crowd, calling for Barabbas. They understand, they realize that Pilate has seen through their ruse. Therefore, they go around him to the crowds. They stir up the crowds, "Release Barabbas." Barabbas has national popularity because he had committed murder in the insurrection. He had been part of the rebellion against the Roman overlords. He was popular for that fact. But Pilate asks them again, verse 12, "What then do we do with the one whom you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate attempts to rally them to his side with Jesus' national popularity. Remember the feeding of the 5,000, that the people wanted to make Jesus into the king right there. This hadn't escaped Pilate. And so Pilate is seeking to release Jesus as the innocent man whom he knows him to be. And the people cry out at the instigation of the chief priests, "Crucify him." As we consider the coming of the Savior, this is what he came to do. This is what we are reminded of at Christmas. The baby doesn't stay a baby. The people were pulled by the push, the demagoguery of the chief priests. And we are, by the way, if we remember Peter's sermon at Pentecost, Peter tells them that you by wicked hands have crucified and slain. We are at fault when we join the crowd against people, when we do not consider biblically and righteously whether or not to do things. And we must be very careful of that. And Pilate defends Jesus' innocence. Why? What evil has he done? And brothers and sisters, as we celebrate the birth of Christ, as we celebrate Christmas, we are reminded of the only perfectly innocent baby in world history. That Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, came into this world perfectly innocent. And he was put on a cross. Notice what goes on in those next verses. Pilate bows to their wills, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas and sent Jesus to be crucified. After all of this, after declaring Jesus to be innocent, Pilate is swayed by the desires of a mob rather than by justice. And brothers and sisters, we have in the Catechism, question answer 38, why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? That he, being innocent, might be condemned by the temporal judge and thereby deliver us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed. Now, what is that severe judgment of God? We deserve God's eternal judgment, eternal wrath in hell. And I read from Galatians 3, 13 and 14, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That the promise of the Spirit has been given to us, that eternal life has been given to us, because Christ took the curse. He was crucified. He was condemned. Though he was innocent, he was paying the penalty for someone else, for us. And so as we consider an innocent baby born laid in a manger, we must remember that Jesus was innocent, perfectly innocent his whole life, that he was like unto us in all things, sin excepted. That baby went through all of the struggles that babies have to. That Christ child lived in a world under the authority of this world. He who is the Lord of glory with all authority walked through this world, and he lived perfectly on our behalf. He was declared innocent 3 times before his crucifixion. And yet, brothers and sisters, we know that he was innocent, but he went to the cross in our place so that we could have eternal life. Amen. Let us bow ourselves before the throne of grace in prayer, and we will close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Almighty, most gracious, Heavenly Father, we stand in awe that the Lord of glory would come into this world, would be mocked, would be spit upon, would be crucified in our place, that He took the penalty of hell for us. And as we celebrate Christmas, we pray, Lord, that our minds would not be stuck on a baby in a manger, but that we would be reminded as we celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus, what an awesome gift that is, that He came into this world to give His life, to pay the penalty for our sins, that Jesus was truly declared innocent 3 times by the Sanhedrin, by Pilate, and by King Herod. And we praise You, Lord Jesus, that being innocent, You still went to the cross to save us from our sins. We pray that our lives would show forth our thanksgiving to You. For we pray this in Jesus' name, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.